Technology Now, Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is here. Fevzi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
You are good morning. You are a man who's best, I feel, in the middle of the night. You know, some people are naturally,
what
do the Americans say, acclimated to the middle of the night, and you're one of those people. You like working in the night
time. Yeah, it's always been like that since I was a student. Yeah, always, always a night bird.
Really? I used to do all your revision then for your exams late at night?
Yeah, that as well, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll draw a gentle veil over that, Fevzi. I hope you're keeping well. Let's the way that we do this, I'm talking to my listener now, Fevzi, it's okay. A game of two halves, this. We talk about a couple of the stories that are making news this week, and then we'll talk about a couple of white-hot gadgets from the white heat of technology. So I noticed, reported a couple of days ago, the use of facial recognition. Now, this is a big topic for you. You have strong views about this. The use of facial recognition for surveillance or algorithms that manipulate human behavior will be banned under proposed EU regulations on artificial intelligence. Big story. And of course, this is not us now. We are not the EU. But it points the way to the shape of things to come. What do you make of this, Fevzi?
Right. So these are guidelines or rules that the EU hopes to put in place to try and protect its citizens, no longer us, sadly, from AI.
Well, I have to say that there will be, 52% of people hearing you say those words who may not agree, and 48% who would. I sit in the middle on all of these.
That number has changed quite a lot since then, but there we are.
Now, I have to be balanced on these things.
Absolutely, I don't. So, the idea that, it's always been a problem that there is surveillance by the state and by companies and organisations of the individuals and our rights, but it's changing now because in the past you used to have human beings looking at the output of all the cameras and microphones that are spying on us. Nowadays, AI can work out what it's looking at, doesn't need a human being, and that will increasingly be the case. Equally, algorithms that manipulate human behavior. Look at what happened with the Cambridge Analytica scandal and how that data was used to mislead people into voting in particular ways. So they're saying that this sort of manipulation and surveillance of our citizens should be illegal. Now, that's actually great, laudable, fantastic, necessary. Very hard to define and do in practice, I'd suggest, because it's the definitions. The devil with all these things lies in the detail, and I predict that they will have a great deal of trouble. That said, people were worried about GDPR regulations, and they have done us good, and the UK is still under those regulations. My concern is that as these rules develop and become useful and protective of EU citizens, that this government may not give us the same or similar protections, that we may become the bargain basement where our citizenry is
I hear what you say. Of course, the other side of that might be that, this is a whole new world of freedoms, but I sincerely hope that just as the EU have looked at this issue, presumably we have committees and subcommittees looking at this.
Who knows? We haven't announced anything at the moment. We're under GDPR regulations in terms of how our data can be used. But this is really important. But the difficulty is that the technology is always many steps ahead of the ability to legislate to control that technology, and the problem is it's quite out of control. The ability of the technology to limit our rights, to abuse and ignore our rights, is the potential for that is now huge and growing, and there are few protections. The situation in the United States is even worse in that regard.
Okay, there was an experiment, wasn't there, in the use of facial recognition technology in one particular place. And that was in London a couple of years ago, wasn't it? And it wasn't, from what I recall, and you will know the details of this perhaps better than I do, it wasn't enormously successful.
No, there was quite... So this is facial recognition. I think one of the experiments was done by the Metropolitan Police. And unfortunately, the error rate was quite high, and it was higher for people of darker skin colour, which actually meant that the systems were de facto racist, because more people of darker skin colours were being misrecognised, were being hauled in by the police You know, the technology, instead of making things more egalitarian, made things even less fair. But also,
now, all of the trouble is that the algorithms that these things work on are designed by human beings. So there was obviously some kind, we don't know, but obviously some kind of issue in the algorithm that was being used then.
It's partly that. It's also partly to do with contrast and darker skin. Can give trouble to cameras and the algorithms that then work on those images.
So if that's the case, you simply can't use it because it is not fair.
The technology has to improve. Yeah, so you get technologies that, you know, become racist actually in some ways, not necessarily deliberately so, but in effect become so. But also, it's not just to do with that. It's to do with the rules that govern how long are the police allowed to keep that data. If the person is misrecognized, what compensation and recompense do they have? But, you know, you get police trying to hold on to data for inordinately long periods of time, which is effectively trawling. And that was, you know, that was what all the fuss was about, you know, in America, where, you know, the government lied about the fact that it was doing mass surveillance. And that's why.
But all of these things are, I suppose, an issue of scale and transparency. I mean, you wouldn't be saying that you couldn't use any form of new technology in order to advance the fight against crime.
No, but there has to be a legal framework in place, and that has to come from a discussion. It's a conversation with the citizenry to say, what sort of society do we want to live in? What benefits do we want to gain from this technology? And what are we willing to give up and what are we not willing to give up in order to get it?
Mm. You know, and that needs to be an open and frank debate. And of course, at a time of COVID, we're thinking about loads of other things, but we need to be thinking about this too. I want to move on if I can, Fevzi. And that's a big topic, and we have to come back to that. Just to mention in passing here, before we talk new gadgets, the Irish Data Protection Commission, interestingly, is launching an investigation into a data leak. We talked about this a lot, in which the details of hundreds of millions of Facebook users were published online. Now, this was in 2019, but had some backwash only recently, yeah?
Well, it's not clear where this data is from. You know, the leaks are so many and varied that they sort of seem to merge into each other. And when data sets like this are published, it's not entirely clear whether they are from 2019, more recent, or combination. You know, it's very hard to know. But there's, you know, virtually not a week that could go by without Facebook or other social media companies being embroiled in some sort of scandal where data that's been entrusted to it is leaked and published, or people are blackmailed or having their identities or their money stolen. I mean, putting information on Facebook these days is, you know, it's not dissimilar to just scrawling on the world's largest toilet wall, you know, in public.
Well, of course, you know, we don't have anybody from Facebook here to defend that point that you made. They would say that they work as hard as they humanly can, sure, and technologically can, to protect the data that is entrusted to the platform.
Of course they do, and they'll have to make that argument to the Irish Data Protection Commission this week. So,
let's,
you know,
see.
The problem is, you know, we should understand that what we put onto Facebook, what we put onto anything on the internet, what we email, is no longer private. It is an illusion to think that data will reliably stay private for eternity. It is
so broadening out the debate, you mentioned any platform. That does not bode well for the future for any of us then, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you know, with quantum computing on the horizon and the ability to hack security systems in a blink of an eyelid. You know, if you really don't want it to be known, don't put it online, don't communicate it electronically. And I know that's hard, but the expectation that your data will remain private is increasingly untenable.
Well, I have to say, I never fill in schools attended, places you work, anything like that. Yeah, I just don't.
No, I just put in the wrong information.
well, of course, we couldn't encourage people to do that. But
it depends what it is. I mean, you may be breaking
your
terms.
Tenacity.
Oh yeah, I also, you know, I regularly change gender, age, shopping habits, location, interests.
Yes, Fevzi, but you were doing that anyway.
Yes, that's nothing to do with online. I'm just saying in general. You know.
Now let's talk gadgets. We're going to have enough time to do these things. I love this first one. This is a mug. I could do with this here. because I've always got a cold cup of coffee next to me. If I could get a mug that would keep my coffee warm, I would be as happy as a pig in poo.
Right, so... okay, I didn't expect that, but thank you. So I'll give you the review in two words. Brilliant, expensive. All right, it's called the Ember Temperature Control Mug version 2. Comes in two sizes, 414 mil and 295 mil. I recommend the bigger one. Comes in colours white or black. The construction is stainless steel, but it has a ceramic coating around it, which means that it doesn't matter how hot the liquid inside the coffee cup gets, you don't burn your hands on the outside. Now,
I mean, it looks fab. I'm lucky enough to see it. It looks fab.
Yeah, no, it is fab. It comes in black or white. I love the black one, although white is arguably more practical if the fluid that you've got in it is somewhat clear. So if you've got a herbal tea or something, I think the white is easier to see what the coloration of your tea is.
So but how does it keep your beverage at the required temperature?
So in the base there is a rechargeable battery, and the saucer is the charger. So when you put it on the saucer, it charges it up, and and it's got an app. So your coffee mug has got an app, and it can work with Android or iPhone. You can even control it from an Apple Watch. You set the drinking temperature that you want. So let's say, I don't know, 57 degrees centigrade. So it's got a little light at the bottom. So when the liquid is too hot, a light of one colour comes on. When the liquid comes to the right drinking temperature that you have selected, a different light comes on, and you get a notification, which is, of course, brilliant. And it will maintain the temperature that you've set from the battery alone for around 80 minutes. If you put the cup on the saucer, it will do it all day long. The more reason to have the bigger mug, first of all, because the battery takes up some of the space, so it's not as capacious as it looks, but also because the real benefit comes in when you've got more liquid in there, which would normally cool down and you'd have icky coffee. It is quite remarkable what you can do with it. You can choose the colors that come on at the base of the unit, so that if you've got two mugs of the same color, the lights on it will change. As I say, it maintains your chosen temperature for 80 minutes or so.
I love it. To make sure that we've got time for the second gadget, because I've got a pre-recorded item next, so I have to be speeding up here, but all of this functionality comes at a price, doesn't it?
So list price £130 for the big one, £100 for the small one. I did see a deal on Costco, although I see they're currently out of stock. The smaller mug was £54 as opposed to £100. So do look around. There are bargains or deals at least to be had on these. 4 stars out of 5. It would actually be 4.5 if it was a little bit cheaper. But it's just, you know, with all the time we spend at home, and our desk, I just think it's a good investment.
I couldn't afford it, but I'd love one. Anyway, let's get to this. Now, I don't understand what this is, so you're going to have to explain what, when it's at home, as my grandmother used to say, a nano leaf shape is.
Think about Hue lights, and the fact that you can control 16 million light combinations and control it from the app, and it'll dance to the music and all that. This is like that, but it's from a brand called Nano Leaf, N-A-N-O Leaf, and you get a kit with shapes. They can be triangles or hexagons, and you can form a mosaic of these shapes on your wall, tessellation, if you like. So you choose what shape you're going to connect them together in, and then they light up, and you control it again from an app. So you can choose from 16 million different colors. You can choose different color temperatures from daylight to candlelight. You can play games on it because they're touch sensitive. So you can play whack-a-mole or, Simon Says or anything like that. You can make it dance to the music. It's got microphones built into it, so the lights will dance to the music.
So it'll do everything from change your ambient conditions to do a disco for you, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite lovely, and the fact that you can make it in whatever shape you want by putting the piece, they'll slot together in any shape, any of the sides can be put together.
It's fantastic that means that you can change your design, you can change your conditions where you live, depending on how you feel. Okay, how much does this come in at?
Okay, so it varies. A 5-panel starter kit is £109. I've given it 3.5 stars. It's a welcome change from the Philips Hue, although like the Philips Hue, it's not cheap. And they're a bit addictive. You get one and then you add kit. You can get add-on kits to it.
I like the sound of it. Details of this at your website?
If you go to gadgetdetective.com, you'll see details there.
and also that my listener will be able to ask you questions of a technological nature if they want to.
Indeed, yeah. You can come and say hello on Twitter at Gadget Detective.
Febsey, lovely to talk with you. We're always at our best late at night, I feel. Thank you. Febsey Turkalp is the definitive gadget detective. Check him out online.